Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please subscribe or listen to our podcast by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or listen to us on iTunes. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in Matthew chapter 9, Spiritually Paralyzed. The title of the message today is Spiritually Paralyzed. There are times in life when we are paralyzed, that we cannot move out of a situation, and that circumstance causes us to get stuck. That is when we need some good Christian friends to help us get out of the mud, because we can get stuck in the spiritual rut as overwhelming situations arise. It causes us to be spiritually paralyzed. But how can we get out of that? Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 is where we're going to start today. We just exited the boat in the storm. And Jesus says in Matthew 9, 1, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. So he was teaching, the language is implying here. He's probably back in Peter's home again in Capernaum. Verse 2, some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The first thing Jesus sees inside of them is their faith. These men were determined. They brought their friend and must have heard about what he could do to help their friend who was paralyzed. They picked him up, carried him to the master, and had the hope their friend could be healed by Jesus. Luke and Mark both say the crowds are so bad that they can't get to the house, so they climb up on the roof to lower their friend down to Jesus. These men go to great lengths to help their friend. They are determined. Josephus said in that time they were called the Streets of Roofs, that they were lined up like one of those movies where the bad guys are escaping and they're running from roof to roof. One of the recent James Bond movies actually had the beginning scene where James Bond's chasing somebody and they're jumping from roof to roof. They climb up on the roof. They lower their friend down to Jesus. These four guys, they're up on the roof with their friend. They had flat roofs at the time, and many would sit on their roofs in the evening. Even today in Israel, a lot of the buildings are made of cinder blocks. They have flat roofs to keep them cool. So in Mark, it says, whole Jesus is teaching, there is banging, plaster falling down on people's heads, and such, then there's a hole. Everyone starts to look up, and all of a sudden, a man is getting lowered down to it. Then the paralyzed man is face to face with Jesus, technon, child. He's saying, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. The word there is technon, child. Be of good cheer, child, your sins are forgiven. I wish I had friends like this. I hope that I can be a friend like this. A friend that would go through crowds of people and climb a roof, all with the hope a Messiah can save their friend. Here's the cool part we see here. Jesus knows what the teachers of the law are thinking. Jesus knows what the crowd is thinking. Jesus knows what the men who lowered down the paralyzed friend are thinking. Jesus sees a man, not overwhelmed with his paralysis, but with his sin, and knows he's thinking that. This is beautiful. Child, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Those are encouraging words. Spiritual healing is much more vital than physical healing because forgiveness will never wear out. You see, you can have every form of physical ailing healed, but eventually death is going to come. When it does, and it's your time, nothing is going to stop that except one thing. the spiritual forgiveness that will go with you into the next life, the true life that we're supposed to live. Child, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Verse 3, at this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. That's 100% true. The person had to take a sin or a trespass offering to the temple. They were 100% right because only God can forgive sins. But in this day, you wouldn't just say sins were forgiven. Even illness and paralysis was a result of sin in their crazy doctrines. With everything that's happened to me over the past couple years, they would say it's because of me sinning and because of me. But then we looked a couple weeks ago that Jesus was sending the disciples into a storm and they were 100% obedient in that storm. That yes, sometimes those things happen, but not all the time. This man is not crippled because of his sins. The lamb represented the coming Messiah, the Christ, and it had to be without spot or blemish and not crippled. The mindset wasn't, well, I had a bad week and I was yelling at my spouse all week. I hit some guy that was getting on my nerves and I lusted after my neighbor's wife. So I'll take this messed up lamb that has issues to the priest because I was getting rid of it anyway. The Corban was, you took your favorite animal that was like your family. It was your pet because people love their animals. And your animals were your life. The sacrifice required you to place your hand on that animal as the priest cut its throat. Then you watched and you felt the life force leave the body of the best animal that you had. Because worship, and I want you to hear this is important, worship requires your best. Because the coming Messiah was the best. He wasn't some three-legged animal you just wanted to get rid of. The priest didn't observe the sin, but the sacrifice. The fact that the sinner was there with the sacrifice was a confession that they were sinful. They had spot and blemish. The law stated you couldn't bring a lamb with spot or blemish or a crippling disease. The worshiper could be paralyzed, and Jesus the Lamb was perfect, and he knows the religious leaders would be thinking this was blasphemy. And verse 4 says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? The second thing Jesus sees inside of them are their thoughts. He knows our thoughts. Verse 5, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Your problem here is observation, and you can't see sins going away. Like the scapegoat, your sins are sent away, but no one could see that. Because if your sins are forgiven, people can't really see that authority. It's between the individual and God. But if I say, get up and walk, that's something said in authority that is seen. Verse 6, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. Get up. And he got up. A young person can atrophy in a matter of weeks. If an older person held their arm at their chest for a few days, it could atrophy and lock there permanently. This man had contracted muscles that hadn't moved for years. Nerves that had not responded to movement for forever. His brain had not given a response to those nerves for a long time. Christopher Reeve, for years, in hope that he would have the opportunity to walk again, had physical therapy on his body daily so he could one day not have atrophied muscles but be able to walk again. Robin Williams, who was Christopher Reeve's best friend, paid for that therapy for a long time. I believe that they said at the time it was $100,000 a week for him to go through the therapy that he was receiving. Christopher Reeve had hope that he would walk again, and part of the process was to have his body stretched and moved so it wouldn't atrophy. Eventually, non-movement would have caused atrophy. I was rooting for him, but sadly he passed away before he could get the surgery. His wife sadly died 6 months later after he passed from lung cancer, and she never smoked. One of my friends had all his muscles cut in his fingers since they were contracted so he could move them slightly. This guy that Jesus is talking to has been atrophied for years, contractures forever, and Jesus is saying to him, get up and walk. Then like the cereal, snap, crackle, and pop, boom, he's walking. Verse 8. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to a man. They were filled with awe. The word actually there was they feared. Jesus can forgive sins on earth, and you can have them forgiven, but there is no purgatory, and after you die, that's it. There's no more chances. If you die without accepting God's forgiveness, there's no authority passed, and that's it. Also, how determined are we to get our friends to Christ? Because these guys climbed over people and even broke through a roof, literally, to get their friends to Jesus. My greatest issue today getting people to come to Christ is they would rather look at people than at Jesus. My goal is not to have you look at Christians because they screw up, they make mistakes, they screw up, but the goal is to take them to Christ. The biggest reason, as I talked with people over the years, for them not to come to church anymore is because they're not looking at Christ, but they're looking at people. Yes, I desire to represent Jesus as a Christian and as a pastor, but if you're looking for Christ, I will not point you to me as the example. I won't even point you to Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or Chuck Swindoll or those great pastors on television. I will point you to Jesus because he is the ultimate answer. Sometimes people need to rip the roof off of a denomination to bring Christ's light in. How desperate are we to go to great lengths to have Jesus touch our friends? How determined are we to be there to help our brothers and sisters to get where they need to be? There are some things that are happening to me, especially this past year, 2018, and especially this week, that I needed a couple of good brothers and sisters to give a listening ear, some advice, some prayer, some comfort, some help, and I got that this week. Because Jesus can use our hands, our feet, our lives, our time to help another who's dealing with overwhelming pressure, hurt, and stress. Is God this willing to forgive sin? The temple and the religious are tense now. It's getting worse as Jesus has done this and will continue to. Yes, God can forgive all sins. Even what people call the unpardonable sin. We have a whole life to live, and some of us really long, while others really short ones. We can ask forgiveness for any sin until the day that we stop breathing. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles at just one point, is guilty breaking of all of it." That means that when they say one sin keeps you out of heaven and one Savior gets you in, they are correctamundo, like Fonzie would say. So God doesn't classify sins as better or worse like we do. He doesn't look at one sin and say, oh, you did worse than that other person. That means when we say the murderer is worse than the liar or the adulterer is worse than the coveter, we measure sin, but God does not measure sin. If you stumble and do one sin, you are guilty of breaking all sins, all the Ten Commandments. God doesn't look and say, you murdered. He says, you sinned. And the murderer, if he's truly sorry, and repentant in his heart for what he did or she did, and they go before the Lord and they repent, that murder is pardonable. And there will be murderers in heaven who truly repented. But what is the unpardonable sin if you really look at it? With the teachers of the law, the unpardonable sin was this. They took Jesus' miracles he was performing through God's Spirit and said he was performing them through Satan. They basically prescribed satanic stuff to Jesus, but also because of that, they wouldn't do something important. They wouldn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says it's the unpardonable sin, not accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can say he doesn't exist. You can say your good works will get you to heaven. You can say work and earning heaven is what heaven needs. Even say Jesus is satanic. All of those things will not get you into heaven. Then Jesus later says to those same teachers, you perform miracles, you did service in my name, you even prophesied and taught scriptures, but I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. You never accepted Jesus as Lord. You never came and talked to me. You never opened up my word. I never saw you in my church, in my house, on my holy ground that I established. I never knew you. Which you think, of course Jesus knows me. He created me. That's not what he's saying. He didn't say, and I sort of took a little liberty on the scripture here for a minute, not everyone that saith unto me, Savior, Savior, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doesn't doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Savior, Savior, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's not what it says. It says, let's change the words here and put them to the correct ones. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a huge difference between Savior and Lord. Jesus is our Savior, but he is also our Lord. And we are to do the will of the Father. A person who doesn't attend a Bible-believing church with a pastor who teaches the Word would not know how to do the will of the Father. A person who never even opens up the Word of God wouldn't know how to do the will of the Father. A person who doesn't spend time with Jesus would never know what the will of the Father is for them. And that's the problem nowadays with people making decisions in their lives, is they're not basing it upon God or the Word of God or what their pastor is teaching them, which sometimes their pastor isn't teaching them the Word of God. The unpardonable sin, if you read it in the context exegetically, is not accepting Jesus as Savior and as Lord. We must allow him to be the Lord over our lives. I think of the commercial, getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Though it was for the 1990 Geo Metro, which was one of the top 10 worst cars ever made, the commercial jingle did stick in your head. But we can't be spiritually paralyzed in our relationship with him. I get spiritually paralyzed. I need good Christians to come alongside me and help me or carry me at times. And that's what we need to be thinking about. carrying our brothers and sisters when they are down, helping them, praying for them, being with them while they're struggling. These friends were so determined to help their friend that they would rip through a roof and they would lower their friend down through the roof to help them. They destroyed property in order to help their friend. And that's not what the message is saying here. It doesn't say go destroy somebody's roof and that you need to destroy property to help your friend. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that what great lengths will you go through to help your friends? What great lengths will you go through? What great lengths will you pray? Because honestly, if we're doing that, this church will be full. You know, I think about my first church that I attended. The first church I attended, the reason I attended it was because the person that I worked with, I didn't even go to church there. I worked with them. I was rude to them. I was mean to them. And they reached out to me in love. And they showed me Christ. And I started to go to church at their church. And the reason I went to their church, not because the church invited me, not because the pastor came to the work and invited me, but because someone at my job, who I was completely mean and rude to, decided to show me Christ's love, and they prayed for me, and they had their Bible study praying for me, and I began to ask questions, and I began to be led by those prayers. And I began to be taken by those prayers. Next thing you know, I'm sitting at a table with this woman that I hated because she represented something I didn't, and that was Jesus. And I was one of those people that it says in the Bible, they will hate you because you love me. I was one of those people. That's scriptural. And she showed me love, and next thing you know, I'm in a church. And at the church, everybody showed me love. And it wasn't how many people were in the church, it wasn't the music, it wasn't the pastor's preaching that got me there. And everybody's like, well, if the church is like this and the church is like that, then the people are going to come to church. No. I went to church, and there are many people who go to church because someone reaches out to them outside the church. What will you do to go to great lengths? If you're willing to do something about it, then I'm going to challenge you. Right where you're sitting, listening to this podcast today, I want you to raise your hands and surrender to God. And I want you to say, Lord, I love my friends. I love my family. Let's pray together and let's ask the Lord, as we surrender our hearts to Him, to allow us to have opportunities, not to get people into church, but to share Christ's love outside the church. And then people will come to church because of that. Father, you see our hands. We raise them to you today. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us opportunities to be able to share with people, even people who hate us, people who are our enemies. Lord, that as we share with them and as we show them love, that, Lord, you would be with them and that you would help them. That you would be with them and help them through what they're going through. Father, I pray for us. how desperate are we to see our friends and family come to know Christ? Are we praying enough? Are we following you enough? Are we walking with you enough? Are we even reaching out enough? Lord, only these people here know. The people listening today know their hearts. So please help them with that. I give you praise, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please subscribe or listen to us on newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com, or you can listen to us on iTunes. Thank you very much. Have a great week. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.